Cambridge 105 Radio.
Behind the Bike Shed with Phil Minot on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello and welcome. Indeed, we are back behind the bike shed. Although it's not so much behind the bike shed today, we're in a festive change of location. So we're behind the stable. And joining us behind the stable, we have a stable full of people for you. We have local Golden Boy, Paralympian and World Track Champion, cyclist Louis Rocket Rolf, our local hero. Our guest on the bicycle today is going to be a certain Mrs. Christmas, and she's going to be saddling up to play spin that wheel. We also hear about the history of Fenland skating and its links into cycling from former national champion and now an adventure expedition cameraman, Adam Giles, and the programme regulars have joined in as well, zooming us, and are delighted to say, well, let's tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to introduce you to all those wonderful people who have made the effort to join us on this Christmas Eve here on Cambridge 105 Radio, behind the bike shed. So going on there, I mean, I have to say, we're all obviously social distancing, but we're very much all together here to celebrate what's been a fantastic year for cycling. 400% allegedly, 400% increase in the number of people taking up cycling across the UK. I mean, obviously, for a bad reason, because of COVID, and that's going to be with us, unfortunately, for a lot longer to come. But hey, it's Christmas Eve, so why don't we celebrate something which is extra special? Now, among our many guests here tonight are some, they're all former regulars. I'm delighted to say Emily Cherry is here from Bikeability, as she was here for the other week.
Hi, good evening, Phil.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, excited. Happy Christmas to everybody.
Yeah, and to you. I have to say, what great Christmas jumper you're wearing there.
Well, you've got to make an effort, right? Always make an effort for buying the bike shed, but especially for Christmas.
Exactly. It's so good people have joined us here. And Brian Robertson, how are you, Brian? Our human-powered vehicle man.
Yeah, good evening, Phil. I'm great. Thank you very much for having this show on.
No, it's a great pleasure. And also joining us here in the bike shed is Dominic Wade, who, of course, is a film producer, and we featured some of his work earlier in the year. Hi, Dom. Thank you for joining us from Bristol, I believe.
Yeah, that is correct. Sat here in Bristol. Very kind of you to invite me on again, Phil.
No, that's good. And also, we're delighted because it's a bit of a party. So we've got the cycling baker here from Cambridge. We've got Grenis Horscroft, who I'm guessing you're out of Scott now, aren't you? Out of stock this year with your bicycle bakes.
I am. For Christmas, I'll have stuff for the new year. But at the moment, I'm enjoying a glass of wine. All deliveries are done.
Yeah, it's a little bit disappointed, I have to say, because I think most people just joined because they knew you were coming and they were hoping to get themselves a freebie for Christmas. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I can get it for New Year's.
And I'm also delighted to say joining us is Rachel Davies from Chatterer Cycling Club. Rachel, nice to you could have dressed up for Christmas. She's got bells all over, and she's wearing an elf outfit, isn't it? Santa's little helper.
Cycling elf outfit.
Is it? Yeah. Actually, we haven't mentioned this. Perhaps we'll talk about this. We've got time. This time of year, cycling clubs, it's always great, isn't it, when people dress up and you go out on that Christmas run. Also has joined us, which is a great surprise for us, is the voice of cycling, the voice of world pro cycling indeed, and for many of us, a hero. And I'm sure that's another reason why people have suddenly flocked in as word got out earlier today. Mr. Phil Liggett. Phil, how are you? Lovely to have you back on the programme.
Lovely to be back again, Phil. And every time everybody says hi, Phil, I almost answered every time.
So. Yeah, well, I could go and pack some of your presents now, couldn't I? I could carry on wrapping presents and you could do the show for me. Phil, while you're here, I do need to have a word with you. Could you remember when you were here last time, you very kindly agreed to do the ident for Behind the Bike Shed?
Yes.
It was a disaster, wasn't it? Do you not agree?
No.
Well, we gave you a script, didn't we? And you can't read scripts. I hadn't realised everything you do is off the cuff.
I don't read scripts. I just ad-lib. Much more fun, like you're doing just now, I suspect.
Oh, no. I've been rehearsing for this, doesn't it show? Been rehearsing for this a couple of weeks. This is our special one. So we'll begin chatting to you soon, Phil, because you have been editing, haven't you, the, is it the Cycling Road Guide for 2020?
Yeah, it's Ned Bolton's book, but I always help them out and do a bit of writing for them.
Okay, and hovering in the background, we have Trish, don't we? Your better half. And there's a reason for that, isn't there?
She's still here, yeah.
I put it on pause.
Yeah. She's here because she was a former ice skater, yeah? And she wants to listen to Adam.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Olympian, former Olympian.
Thank you, Adam. We'll get to you soon.
So reminded me, Adam. That was very good of you, that.
Yeah. And also joining us is Sir Christopher Hayworth, who very bravely and candidly early in the year was telling us about his recovery from cancer and how cycling helped him do it. Sir Christopher, thank you so much for joining us again.
No problem. Good to be back. Yeah, cycling is still going well. I'm still cancer-free, I'm pleased to say. So,
hey!
It obviously works.
Yeah, well done. We're all pleased. We're well done, Sir Christopher. And, that's great news.
I'm even starting to enjoy wine again, which is good.
Oh, that sounds good. I notice actually some people have started on wine already, but just in case the bosses are listening, they won't be because it's Christmas Eve and they probably went home yesterday. I'm not drinking, but everyone else is, so cheers to you all. And also joining us for the first time is local cyclist Keith Tyler, who has been a grass track cyclist and a good general amateur cyclist, I would say. But he's also asked him to come along because he also does a lot of Fenland skating in winters when we can do Fenland skating. So, and of course, Louis Rolfe is here, complete with his medals. There you go, Louis, look at that. And he says they're his medals, but we suspect they're probably Christmas tree chocolates.
They definitely are.
Yeah, don't get them mixed up. Louis, we're going to be chatting to you in a moment as well. So let's get on with this. Adam, thank you so much for joining us. Adam Giles, now your day job, let's talk very quickly about your day job. Your day job, you do a lot of filming now, don't you?
I run a film company with a good friend of mine, but it sounds very grand, but it's mostly corporate films that we do. We do a little bit of television. Last year we went on an expedition to Everest Base Camp and made a one-hour special about that, which was a lot of fun. But we're a filmmaking company. We're based in Cambridge, and a lot of our work is in Cambridge, and it's a great spot for us. We do a lot with the university. A lot with tech development companies around the area, but also get the chance to make films about things like fence skating, which we did a few years ago, and so that was a tremendous amount of fun. We live in hope that we might get a little bit of icy weather and a bit of fence skating this winter. What do you think?
Well, do you know, the weather forecast, I was checking it out because it's what you have to do in this job. And I have to say, it could be as winter goes on, it's definitely going to be. I mean, let's start in the first place, okay? How, when people skate today in the Fens, it tends to be near Erith, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, if you're going to go skating, it's best to go to some of the sort of safer spots. And there are these kind of rural ice rinks, let's call them. They're not artificially frozen, but Erith has got a good spot. It's called Bury Fen. It's flooded purposely for skating. It's only about a foot to 18 inches deep. It freezes very, very quickly. If you do go through, well, you're only going to get wet up to your knees. There are a few other places around like that, sort of shallow fence. If you're going to go fen skating, keep off the ditches, drains and deep rivers. Please keep off of those. Always go to sort of the shallow spots, the places where people go regularly skating. But Bury Fen is one of the top spots. And, all of the great and the good of skating from the early days of skating, maybe the smart skated down there. I don't know if it was. They were a great sort of skating family. Right up to the, John French, who was an Olympian in 1980, and of course, the Tipper family from London as well, from Aldwych, I think they would have skated back there in the 40s and 50s, and more recently in the 70s and 80s. But we'll probably talk about that later.
Now, the bit we're interested in is the switchover between the skaters and the cycling.
Yeah.
But first of all, how did skating come about in the Fens?
Well, there are several sort of stories, really. A couple of, they're probably sort of myth, legend, bit of folklore. But one theory is that there was a monk from the monastery in Ely that was caught, he was skating basically, had fashioned, made a pair of fen skates, got caught by a couple of fen fowlers, wild fowlers, had seen this chap skating around, wanted to know why he was moving across the ice so fast. And so they captured him. They got the they took these skates off of him. They saw how they'd been designed and developed, and started to manufacture or make these skates. That's one theory. Another one was a little later on in the sort of 17th century. A Dutch ship. This is before the fens were drained. Was shipwrecked somewhere near Southery, and a chap. There was only one survivor, a chap called De Wee, and a Dutch guy. He lived, he stayed in the village of Southery, and one winter it was particularly cold. He started to fashion, couldn't speak English, but he started to fashion these wooden skates, like a wooden stock with a metal blade in the base of it. And from that point on, these skates were sort of made in the fens, and they were termed fen runners. So that's one theory as to, or you know, a couple of theories as to where how it all sort of started. But really, fen skating didn't get moving until the early 1800s when they started racing. And then by about 1850, 1860, the development of competition in the fens really started to move forward. And by the 1880s, 1890s, we even had a world champion from the fens. So, you know, they were skating abroad. Actually, I live in Welney, which is regarded by many as the home of fen skating, and there was a family here called the Smart family that did particularly well. One of them was a world champion, and as a result of their success, the National Ice Skating Association of Great Britain was inaugurated because of what was happening in the fens here, inaugurated in Cambridge in 1879. So, you know, who knows? You know, we probably wouldn't have had, I don't know, dancing on ice. Some of the champions that we've seen, some of the Olympians that we've seen, it hadn't have been for fen skating and in the fens. So,
we must point out to listeners, of course, that we're talking about the Cambridgeshire fens here, aren't we? Particularly, it was really intensive, wasn't it? I mean, round Rachel, where you live, Chatteris, have you been skating on the fens at all?
I have a few years ago. We were saying going off to Erith. And sort of went with friends, but I haven't seen it flooded sort of over the last sort of year or so. But this was a couple of years ago that we went.
Well, it's certainly going to be flooded this year. It will certainly be flooded this year. In fact,
I'll be there then.
I think the whole road's flooded. We'll be able to skate all the way from Erith, won't we, all the way to Ely, I would imagine, pretty soon. Adam, these guys, and it was mainly guys, wasn't it? They used to skate for hours, didn't they?
It did. There is actually a book that was published back in the 1880s, 1890s, and it lists all of the tour skating routes around the fens, and some of them were sort of 50, 60, 70 miles long, and they detailed every turn, every bridge, every bit that they thought was going to be unsafe, every bit that was around. So there was all of these routes to skate around the fens. So it gives you an idea of how much colder the winters were back then. But that said, we had 3 years in the 1980s. It was 85, 86, 87. It froze every year. And every one of those years, they ran all of the, we say ran, which means basically race, ran all of the competitions. So all of the championships were ran those years. So probably the three most important years in fen skating in the history of fen skating. So which wasn't that long ago. So, you know, we always kind of live in hope that we might get some ice skating soon. So I better go and sharpen my skates.
Yeah, for sure. Now we're all, obviously all here because we're cyclists. So we'd quite like to know now the connection. Where does the cycling part and the crossover between skaters and cycling come?
I think, you know, the sort of the zenith and you know, skating was probably the sort of 1880s, 1890s in the fens. And of course, that was the beginnings of cycling, the safety bicycle. The bicycle was just being developed. And it was a great opportunity during the spring and summer months to keep yourself fit, to get on your bike and prepare yourself for the winter months. And so the two go sort of, they're sort of you know, kind of glove, hand in glove, aren't they, really, with each other, because of the muscle groups that you use to cycle are very similar to the ones you use for skating. So the two sports go really well together, and it did mean that if you were an ice skater, you could keep competing during the summer months cycling. And, of course, there was prizes to be won at cycling and money to be made. In fact, actually, my great-uncles, the Horn brothers, during the 1920s and 30s, were great cyclists. My uncle Cyril was a national fence skating champion, but also was national cycling sprint champion at Hohenheim in 1935. And his brother was also a cyclist, not so much of a skater, but was national sprint champion, held multiple national titles on a bike, almost became world sprint champion in the 30s. So the two go very, very well together and complement each other nicely. And there's some great examples of skaters that have become great cyclists. Eric Heiden is a great example. Back in 1980, he won an American speed skater. He won 5 gold medals at the Olympics. He broke the Olympic record in every distance from 5,000 up to 10,000 meters. Also was a national cycling road race champion. And Phil would know this. You know, he cycled the Tour back in the 80s. I think he was actually even voted like the most popular rider of the Tour that particular year. Too big to do anything on the Tour. You know, the guy was way too much to sort of cope with the mountains. But he was a great cyclist and a good example of how the two sports.
You presume you had conversations with him? Did he ever chat to you about skating?
I used to work with him, actually, and when CBS called me in 1991 to commentate on the Winter Olympics between 1992 in Albertville, I said, great, I know nothing about winter sport. I'll do speed skating because my wife went to the Olympic Games. I know that one. And they said, no, we've got a guy called Eric Heiden can do that. I said, oh dear, I know Eric rather well. He was quite good. So they put me on the Nordic combined skiing and ski jumping. I did 5 Winter Olympics commentating on those sports. Eric is a super guy, and you're right, Adam. He actually crashed out of the Tour de France 2 days from the end, landed on his head in the fall. But he won the points, the sprint competition in the Giro d'Italia. This guy had huge thighs, the most modest guy you'd ever meet. Having won those 5 gold medals and 5 world records, I think it was at Calgary Olympics, I might be wrong. He was offered the world in American commercialized situations, and he would not take any of them up because he wanted to train to become an orthopedic surgeon, and he was a great success. So from that moment on, he started helping cyclists who had bad crashes and put them back on the bike. You would never meet a nicer person than Eric Heiden.
So my question is then to the rest of the panel here, very kindly giving up their Christmas Eve to come along here to help celebrate. Just, you know, we just wanted to mark the fact that it's been such a good year for cycling across the whole of the UK. Has any of my panel here, have you ever done any outdoor skating? Has anyone done it? Mm. Emily, have you done it? You look like the sort of might, Emily.
Well, not necessarily officially outdoor skating, but I do vividly remember a number of Christmases ago, and we're talking my childhood, and I probably was about 8 or 9 down in Somerset, and the whole area had completely frozen over, and we all went out and skated then. But that's the only time I've done it, but as a child. So now being in Cambridgeshire, I'm very excited. I'm going to go and try this out now. Thanks, Adam, for the tip. So that'll be in our future, definitely.
And I have to say,
I definitely have, but I'm Canadian, so that explains a bit more, because I have grew up in Toronto, so minus 20 to 30 degrees, I spent the first 20 years of my life outdoor skating.
So do you?
I certainly have as well. When we lived up in Cheshire, or my parents' house up in Cheshire, I had a very overgrown pond in front of the house, and that used to freeze over, which my father would go and test for us, and then we'd put the car headlights on it and skate on it at night. So that was always quite fun as well, and that was fairly a bit dangerous, I think. None of these, you know, shallow stuff. I'm sure we'd have gone a long way in if we'd fallen in, but great fun, but under the car headlights.
I have to say, Sir Christopher. Sorry.
I did it.
Sorry, Rachel. I'm just going to ask Keith Tyler there, because he is very much a lifetime skater out in the Fens and a cyclist as well. Keith, have you ever cycled? Cycled? You've cycled many times at night. Have you ever skated at night in the Fens?
Oh gosh, yes, we have quite a lot. On Berry Fen that Adam mentioned, we used to have lit candles in jam jars set on the ice to form a circuit so we would skate around either in the moonlight or by these candles in their little jars. Some fantastic evenings we had in the 80s, particularly, and Adam was talking about the heyday of modern speed skating in the Fens.
You paint a lovely picture there. Brian, our human-powered vehicle man, have you ever taken one of your human-powered vehicles, which is a recumbent, for people listening, low-profile slung, have you ever taken one of those out on the ice?
I don't think so, but I've certainly seen it being done. I mean, there's people who've done trips up to the very north of Norway and things in their velomobiles in deep snow. So it's certainly been done, but not by myself. Not yet.
Okay. We used to see a lot of cyclists on Berry Fen when we were skating there. Just two-wheel cyclists.
Cycling on the ice.
Do you remember, Keith, one year there was a farmer turned up with a surfboard, windsurf. He had ice skates on the bottom.
Yeah.
And he had sort of plus fours on. He had hunter welly boots and a flat cap tweed jacket on. And he was going up and down on a windsurf.
Yes. That's spectacular, wasn't it?
Crazy.
That sounds good fun to me, I have to say. Now, Louis, obviously, because you've got Tokyo Olympics next year, haven't you?
Well, hopefully that'll go ahead. And, I'm definitely training is going well for Tokyo. So hopefully I'll be there next summer. All things going well.
So, Lou, we're going to be chatting you in depth in a little bit while, but I'm just thinking we really should take you ice skating in the Fens, but I suspect British Cycling won't let us do that until you've come back from an Olympics, will they?
I've only been skating in Cambridge on the ice skating rink on Parker's Peak.
Oh, I love that.
Two times, and both times I've been, I haven't been able to get up the side, so I don't think that's a very good idea for anything after Tokyo, to be honest.
Yeah, you'll be able to do it. I'm Mr. Uncoordinated, and both Adam and Keith, they took them about a couple of seasons, but to be fair, they did teach me how to skate. And, we've had a four ever since, so I don't know if they're sort of telling me a message I shouldn't go skating.
It definitely sounds like I'm in good hands if that's something that I decide to pursue. So I might take you up on that.
So while we're here, I see Trish, your long-suffering partner, Phil, is standing behind you. And, of course, she, unlike you and me who just talk about sport, she's actually done sport at a high level, hasn't she? And you mentioned the Olympics earlier and skating. Trish, did you cycle with your skating? Was it part of your training?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, it's through cycling, which we were doing all the time for training for skating, that I actually met Phil, because I joined the Central Park Cycling Club. And then he didn't like to skate, so we started to ride more. So yeah, I've done Land's End, John O'Groats. I've won an age category in the Big Argus Pick and Pay Cycle Tour in South Africa. Ridden with the guys all the time for the last 40-odd years. So cycling's been very big, to be honest.
We stopped her coming because she kept beating us.
Yeah, that often, that's actually very true. Back in the day, it's different now because all the sort of top cyclists are good cyclists. But I think I'm right, aren't I, Phil, thinking there was a time when people from other sports were probably as fit as cyclists were at their own sport before it became...
Yeah,
and the mobility exercise, other people in every sport are much better than the cyclists. When we used to see the old shows, superstars, cyclists always finished last. Their arms wouldn't pull them up a rope in the gym. They put them on a bike and they were a bit different to everybody else. But definitely, cycling is a spectrum. specialist sport in many ways in that respect.
Yeah, it is.
Speed, like speed skating, ice skating in general, skiing, rowing, and swimming, that all benefits anybody who wants to turn to cycling, and they usually become champions.
So I'm going to interrupt you all now. I've been doing that all evening, haven't I? But we are celebrating Christmas Eve. We are celebrating a great year of cycling here in the UK, particularly here in Cambridge. We've sort of, I guess it's probably the only plus point to come out of the UK, to be honest, over this last, apart from people being heroes, of course, and doing great things for other people. But I have a very important phone call to make. So what you guys can do, you can have a little chatter among yourself. I have to make this phone call. It's Christmas Eve. I've been given this number, and the number I have to dial is North Pole 1234.
Hello, Mrs. Christmas North Pole. How may I help you?
Oh, hello. Can I speak to Father Christmas, please?
No, he's working. I'm at home today. It's my day off.
Oh, is it? Well, why is he out working then?
Well, he has to travel so far, doesn't he?
Oh, so he's gone already, has he? Around.
Well, he has to start. I mean, surely you must, you know, comprehend how far he's got to go.
Oh, OK. Well, I'm phoning from Cambridge 105 Radio. I had an appointment with him for him to play Spin That Wheel.
Oh, well, do you want me to try and do it for you?
Well, do you mind, Mrs. Christmas?
Well, I don't, but, you know, it is my day off today.
I guess you only get one day a year, don't you, when you're not with him?
Yes, that's the only day, you know, we're busy all through the year, and when he's out on his sleigh, of course, it's my time then to relax.
So tell me, Mrs. Christmas, do you do all the work, really, or does Father Christmas work all year?
Well, you know, you do know we have elves to help us, don't you? They're with Father Christmas making all these gifts for children, and I'm the one who does sort of the electric component parts, what they want these days, and I do all the wrapping up for them.
So you basically do everything?
Well, basically, you know, he's getting older now, so we have to help each other out, don't we?
I guess you do. Now, Mrs. Christmas, it's so very kind of you to give up your one evening off of the year to help us here on Behind the Bike Shed, or Behind the Stable, as we're calling it, because it's Christmas Eve. Now,
right.
I hear that actually Father Christmas prefers cycling to going in his sledge.
Of course he doesn't. The sledge has been his lifetime. I don't think he'd know how to ride a cycle.
So
unless he asked Father Christmas to bring him one.
Of course, he might do that, mightn't he? So maybe
he might.
Instead of Spin That Wheel, do you think we should be playing Spin That Sledge with you?
Possibly. Yes, I think that would possibly be better.
Okay.
Oh, no, on second thought, should I have a go at the bicycle one? What do you think?
Well, I think you ought to. Have you ridden a bicycle? I mean, I'm guessing you're quite a few years old. I hope you don't find that being impertinent.
Oh, yes, I am getting older, and I do remember riding a bicycle, yes. I had to ride up a bridge once. That's right, it was very tiring.
Was it? So, I'll tell you what we're going to do, Mrs. Christmas. We shall ask you to play
Spin That Wheel,
if you're up for it.
Okay, well, you know, I'll have a go. I'm not very clever, but I'll have a go.
Okay, what we're going to do then, it's a 3 minutes of non-stop questions about your cycling habits. You can answer the question as shortly as you wish, or make the question as long as you wish your answer. And the great thing about this quiz, Mrs. Christmas, it's a good Christmas quiz because you know the answers before I do.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Thank you.
That's so clever.
Thank you. I do think we're rather genius here on this programme.
Yes, you are. And what is it you're doing? You're on a what, a radio?
Yes, on the wireless, you might have known it as.
Oh, yes, I do know. I do remember the wireless, yes.
It's a newfangled device. Let's go, Mrs. Christmas. If you're ready...
It's time to play Spin That Wheel. Let's play Spin That Wheel.
Mrs. Christmas, what's your earliest memory of cycling?
Really and truly, I think trying to stay up on the two wheels. So funny. I get on one side and fall off the other.
What type of cycling do you enjoy most?
Oh, well, what kind of cycling do I enjoy? Well, the one where the wheels went round.
Oh, okay, that's unique. How often do you cycle?
Well, again, I'm trying to think. I think the last one I did was 1955.
Oh, was it? And yeah, so it's not every day, is it? What sort of bicycle?
No.
Yeah, I've just moved on to the next question then, Mrs. Christmas.
Oh, sorry.
Now,
what's the next question?
The next question will be, how do you like to carry your luggage and parcels? Is it a basket, saddle bag, handle bag, or a rucksack?
Well, it's a sack, of course. I've never heard of any of those others. What rucksack was that?
What would be the perfect dream cycle ride for you? Whereabouts in the world would it be and with whom?
Well, I'm supposed to say Santa, Father Christmas, but I don't really know. Possibly I'd like to go. There's a place called Mauritius, isn't it?
There is
one called Mauritius.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of snow there.
They don't have snow, do they?
No, I don't think so.
You know who I think I might take with me?
Who?
Bradley Walsh.
Oh, I'm sure he'd love that.
Yes, that's what I'll say.
He'd have known Mrs. Christmas wants to take Bradley Walsh to Mauritius. Okay, so what's the longest distance you've ever cycled?
Oh, it would have been half a mile.
Do you prefer cycling solo or in the company of other cyclists?
Oh, I don't like other cyclists because they overtake sometimes.
Oh, what?
And, you know, it makes me quite nervy.
Oh, does it?
I much prefer to do it on my own.
Oh, do you? Do you get a lot of cycling in Lapland?
Not. It's too slippery. This is why I want to go to Mauritius, because I thought I could stop my cycle there and have an ice cream or something.
Okay. Do you have a cycling hero at all?
What's his name? Lewis Hamilton?
No, he drives a car.
Oh, does he? No, I don't then, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
No, I can't answer that. I don't really have one, no.
Now, I have two guests in the studio with me this evening. Well, not in the studio, they're on Zooming. One's Adam Giles, I don't think he's been that good this year. One is Louis Rolfe, who is a Paralympian gold medalist.
Spin that wheel.
Do you think Father Christmas will be giving presents to either of those this evening?
Again, you have to be so careful, because he really does do children, only children, and sometimes teenagers. But when you get to sort of over 21, you're not supposed to be expecting presents from Santa. There just wouldn't be room on the sleigh.
Now, Mrs. Santa, I've just made this phone call hoping that I'd be able to blag myself some extra presents. Are you saying I've wasted me time?
Well, I don't like to be quite so harsh as that, but yes, possibly you have.
Okay, happy Christmas, Mrs. Christmas. Go back to your washing machine. We can hear your washing machine in the background. You take care.
That's not the washing machine. Don't be silly. That's the tumbling drying of old Santa's extra clothes he's got on.
Oh, okay. You take care, Miss.
You are silly.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for calling me. It's been a pleasure.
And happy Christmas.
And to you too. Bye-bye.
Behind the Bike Shed with Phil Minot on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Christmas. I have all sorts of people listening to this programme. Who's cycling hero? My cycling hero has popped along to behind the bike shed or behind the stable with us. This is Christmas Eve. It's Phil Liggett, a lifetime, and I'm sure that's why we've got a lot of people who are just contacting the programme at the moment, because they've worked out he's with us, which is great having here. Now, my panel. First of all, Adam, we won't be asking you. It's pretty obvious you won't be getting any presents. You haven't been a good boy from what Mrs. Christmas was saying. But we shall ask Louis. Louis, what would you like for Christmas?
All I'd like for Christmas, hopefully some...
Gold in Tokyo. Gold in Tokyo would be quite useful.
Yeah.
We all think you're going to get gold, Louis. Cambridge is backing you. You know that. So let's work our way around. Dominic, you've been very quiet for you. He's obviously working on his next film. Dominic, what would you like for Christmas, cycling wise?
Oh, an old steel bike, a Colnago Master.
I mean, you'd want a carbon bike, because he's very good at getting the name of his film. And what's the name of your film, Dom?
Steel is real, but carbon is quicker.
It's an excellent, it's a really, really good, it's well worth watching. And we are going to, Adam Giles knows loads of people. We're going to work hard to make sure that gets a larger audience for you as well. Gwyneth, before we ask you what you'd like for Christmas, baking, your Bicycle Bakes business, which I think we first chatted to you, didn't we, the first week of your launch?
You did, yeah.
Yeah. Now, your macaroons are possibly the best macaroons in the world. That does sound a bit bad, but I didn't mean it. You know what I mean? You've got lovely macaroons. Your cookies, of course, are really nice as well. Now, we like to think Behind the Bike Shed has given your business a big boost. Is that true? Have you done really well, haven't you?
I have done really well. Yeah, December was really, really busy. So I'm going to actually have to take a week off in January to recover from December. But the business is a lot busier than I ever thought it would be. Yeah.
And you're still cycling, doing all your deliveries?
I'm still doing all the deliveries myself. So,
how many miles a week do you reckon you're doing now then?
Oh, I'm a Canadian, so I'm in kilometres. I would say maybe 60 kilometres a week in deliveries.
Oh, well, yeah, that's pretty good, isn't it? And then you're doing all your baking as well. Brian, what would you like Santa to bring you for Christmas?
I think what I'm really after is a much better sat nav, which has a little bit longer lasting battery life and much better visibility screen. So you get these OLEDs now with televisions, and so a really nice bright sat nav that you can see in sunlight and also at night time, but also with a very good battery life. I think that would be because my navigation is rubbish. So as soon as the sat nav dies, then I'm lost.
So, Emily, your task, of course, with Bikeability to deliver the Prime Minister's ambitions for cycling. So I suspect you're very professional, so you're going to say you want all those delivered on time. So I've done that for you. So what would you like personally for your cycling present for Christmas?
Oh, well, I'm definitely with Brian on some sat nav because I am useless at directions. But I was very naughty earlier because I actually opened a present. It's Christmas Eve. It's in our family. And I've already been given one. I got given a pizza wheel shaped like a bicycle.
Yeah,
combining my love of eating pizzas and bicycles.
Yeah, we've all got one of those and you won't use it, but they look good. Trust me.
Yeah.
You'll get a knife. So that's what we all do.
But yeah.
Rachel. What would you like for Christmas? Yeah. I know you'd quite like an outrageous costume to wear at Christmas. Oh, no, you've got one on. So what would you like?
I would like everything. In fact, I have actually just got a new bike, which is coming next week.
Oh, yeah, that's the ultimate Christmas present, isn't it?
No. But the ultimate present, I think, this year would be the LeBlanc experience. So it's wining and dining and cycling with like Bradley Wiggins and a top chef in the Isle of Wight. I'd like to do that, but it's very expensive, so it probably won't happen.
Yeah, we might. I'm sure your husband's listening next door and he's just thinking, oh God, I've got her a dishwasher. She's not going to be happy. Phil, what would a man who probably has every contact in cycling anyone would want, what would you like cycling-wise?
Well, I have an electric bike now. I've got two fabulous ordinary bikes as well.
So, better battery.
Yes, better battery would make me last longer on the bike. But in all seriousness, I'd like to be the announcement to come that COVID is gone forever. That'd be the best Christmas present I think any of us could have. But the one thing that has come out of this horrible virus is that when I drive out, well, ride out on the driveway here into the Hertfordshire lanes, is the number of cyclists in any weather. I said to Tris the other day, look at this idiot with his shorts on. It was raining like you wouldn't believe. The roads were flooded and he was crashing through with just a bright yellow top on.
That's so probably Keith Tyler. He's sitting underneath you on Zoom.
Well,
that's the sort of thing he'd do.
I didn't want to say that. But then I said, oh, well, I have to admit, in 1961 when I was racing, I used to do just the same and it was snow on the ground. So I guess he's got something we don't have. But in fairness, the COVID has brought so many people to riding bikes, especially in the Cambridge area, and that won't go away. Even when COVID is gone and is a memory, all these people have continued cycling and there'll be a big adaptation of the roads of Britain for us all to continue in this manner. And we'll all be more the healthy for it. And that's the best thing that will ever come out of this horrible virus.
You see, I was thinking more about presents for myself. You're now making me feel very guilty because that's quite a... that's quite a bit harder, dear. Okay. Trish, what would you like? Trish. No, Phil, you're far too worthy for me. I'm going off you quite quickly. Trish, what would you like for Christmas?
I'd like my kicker back. Yep. He's taken my kicker, and I ride it regularly indoors, and the one he's given me is really not quite good enough.
Yeah, that isn't the butler, by the way. That's the training issue.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to get involved in a domestic, so we're going to move on. Sir Christopher Hayworth, you look like a man who knows his stuff. What would you like cycling-wise for Christmas?
Well, again, everybody's being so esoteric and philanthropic about this that I'm afraid what I'd really like is a new carbon mountain bike. Actually,
I'm with you. You're a good man.
My old giant mountain bike is a great one, but it's pretty old. It's certainly over 10 years old now, and all the bearings have gone on the suspension arms, and I don't seem to be able to mend them anymore. So, a new carbon mountain bike would be good for me.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to be voting for yours so far, actually, of all of them. Keith Tyler, you're a man who, if you're still with us, you seem to have drunk a lot of wine, but it's none of my business. Keith, what would you like for Christmas?
I'd like the local authority to fill all the potholes in on the road. That's the first wish. And the second one, a COVID vaccine, please. Vaccination.
Yeah, I think you'll probably get the COVID vaccine before the potholes somehow.
I reckon you're right.
We'll tackle the easy one first. Adam, now... there you go, yeah. Adam.
Talk about Phil's cyclist he saw today, the other day in the pouring rain. For the first time in my life, I cycled along the busway and through some water, which I thought would only be a couple of inches deep, and came home with very wet feet because it turned out to be 12 to 15 inches deep.
Well, you shouldn't cycle through puddles because you don't know if there's a pothole underneath them. So if you're listening, folks, so you need to slow down, look behind you. If it's safe to do, then go round it. Don't take your bike through a pothole or through a puddle. But Keith, you've only been cycling 60 odd years, so why would you know that? Adam, Father Christmas has just been in contact with me, and he says apparently because we're all having a bit of a tough year, he's going to overlook your many sins this year. And you can have a Christmas present. So what would you like, my friend? Would you like to have a microphone we could listen to? Mr. Film Industry Man.
He's gone to dinner, I think.
Ah, there we are. Sorry. Let me unmute. I would go for another pair of skates, Phil.
You've got a pair there, haven't you?
I've got some original Fen Runner skates.
Oh, beautiful.
Wooden with the metal blade running through, very thick. I'm going to show you the next variant. These were the sort of the ones that came after. These are Hagen skates, so these are Norwegian. Trish would know a bit about these guys, and Harry would definitely know about these. So these are, you know, they look more like a conventional skate, leather boot on top of a really nice steel blade. There we go.
Yeah, by Harry, you mean who we were chatting about earlier, don't you?
Yes, Trish's father.
Yeah.
Yeah, my era. Those skates are my era. I recognise those. Absolutely.
Yeah. They were quite floppy. Quite a nice skate.
And they're made from leather, aren't they? What would the original... this is quite interesting, because what would the original skates have been like?
When you say the really early
ones, when people first started doing it.
Well, when they first started doing it, they used shin bones. So they're basically they were animal bones that were fashioned and shaped, and so they were good for sliding on. They didn't really have an edge, and they used to push themselves along, goad themselves along with a stick with a maybe a metal spike on the end, and just sort of push themselves along. And then it progressed to the sort of wooden stock with a metal blade, and then on to this one, which I've just shown you. And then now they're skating on, I can get these out, a clap skate, which is this technology. So so basically when you push, the sort of toe extends, because you naturally want to do that when you ice skate. You're always told as an ice skater that's a bad thing to do, to push with your toe. Now you can get all of the power, and you can actually push with the toe of your skate, extend your leg and your toe.
And the way I'll just explain to people, you're basically holding the shoe so the toe's on the ground, obviously, yes, to listeners. Now, that's when we looked at, when we used to look at the Olympics and the indoor skating, the speed skating, yes, that's the sort of style they use, don't they, where their foot's very much off the ground?
Yes, yes. So, I mean, things have progressed.
So in a way, it's a little bit like cycling. You only use the, you don't use the, your heel, do you?
No, you don't use your heel anymore. You actually push with your toe at the end of the stroke. And just for obviously everyone sort of listening in, it started off with a bone skate. Then it was a sort of a wooden stock with a metal blade in the base of it. Then it progressed to a very sort of light metal tube with a very thin steel blade with a leather boot attached to the top of it. And it stayed like that for years. I mean, literally 100 years, it didn't progress. And then it moved to the clap skate. It was a bit like the revolutions that we saw in cycling back in the early days with Chris and Pete Keane and Mike Burrows when the Lotus bike came about. You know, we saw a massive advancement in technology and the way that people approached, the way that they trained and the equipment that they used. And that was that, you know, literally when that came along, every world record went. Just like that, it made that much difference.
Now, it's interesting you mentioned Mike Burrows because Brian, who's with us from the Human Powered Vehicles, he's a good friend of yours, isn't he, Mike Burrows, the bicycle designer?
That's right. Mike at the moment is working on a bike to break a record at Battle Mountain and the hour record. He's calling it at the moment his wilderness years. But he's still beavering away, well over 76 years of age, still cycling around. And he certainly went past me at quite a good speed at Betfanger. It was only about a year ago. Absolute legend, that man. Yeah.
Now, Lewis, because you've come home to Cambridge, haven't you, for your Christmas holiday to be with the family from Manchester?
I have.
And yeah. You use all the latest in technology, don't you, at British Cycling? And you have all the technical support, don't you? And what happened to you the other day on the guided busway? Your pedal fell off, my friend. Your pedal fell off. And how many millions of lottery money do we pay to keep you cycling, my friend? And your pedal fell off your bike.
I was going to say it was my own personal bike, but that doesn't make the argument any better.
No, I think it makes it worse, actually. But
yes.
So it's great to know that even like a world-class cyclist like Lewis has those mechanicals happen when you're suddenly. Well, but it's worse for you because I've seen you out when you're cycling, and you are fast, and you are good, and you smooth. See, when you cycle at my speed, it doesn't really matter because you're not actually going a lot slower when you stopped. Whereas when you're at your speed, it just feels like the world has stopped turning, doesn't it?
Well, the thing is, in my category in paracycling, I race with a lot of people who ride with one leg. And to get home, I had to ride 20 minutes with one leg. And I definitely appreciated what they do a lot more when I have to do that out of necessity to get home, because it was really hard work. And there's an extra level of respect I have for my competitors when I have to do that.
Joe DeCundy, isn't he? He's a Paralympian cyclist from Wisbeach, and I know he's got a prosthetic.
Well, Jody is one of Lewis' teammates.
I raced Jody,
Yeah, he's a superman. They're a really good squad they've got. And actually, to be fair, it's looking pretty... don't want to tempt anything, but it's looking pretty good, isn't it? You're not going to say anything, are you? Because you said that earlier. But it is. You're doing the times and stuff. It's all hanging in there, isn't it? And it's... Now, Phil, it must be harder. You must have seen this a million times. When people at teams are successful... Presumably each season it becomes harder and harder because they're under more pressure, aren't they, to stay at the top?
Absolutely they are. And I commentated on the Paralympics in 2012, and they were the most exciting times of the whole Olympic Games in London. I don't think you were there for that one, Louis, because you came in at Rio.
I was
red level,
yeah.
And so hopefully I'll be in Tokyo. Well, I probably won't be with COVID, but I will be commentating on the Games. And And I really do wish you all the best, mate. For
thank you, Phil, too.
35 million that British Cycling's just been given for the next cycle. So make sure you get your fair share. And buy yourself a new pedal.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Get yourself something you can do your pedals up with. You can probably get something for 150 somewhere. We'll have a whip round for you. Could you imagine that? You lose your gold medal because your pedal fell off. You couldn't come back to Cambridge.
Well, that's how you say that, Phil, but you mentioned Jody Cundy, because I commentated
when
he pulled off the pedal at the start of his, I think it was 2,000 metre, the kilometre time trial. And, of course, he left the stadium rather annoyed because he was disqualified from the event. And he was favoured for a medal.
That's a really nice thing for you to bring up on Christmas Eve, really, Phil, isn't it? For little Louis, he's not going to sleep all Christmas now because he's going to be worried about all that. He's going to be going through his head.
Phil, I've known Jody a good few years now, and I've never mentioned that to him, and I never
want to know that to him. Phil, I'll say, Louis, you're well advised not to, because he went downstairs very quickly, and the coaches wouldn't let him come back upstairs because he was going to punch the referees.
How can we go from Mrs. Christmas promising children Christmas presents to this? I can't believe it. You are listening to Behind the Bike Shed here on Cambridge 105 Radio. It's Christmas time, of course, here, and we do have a schedule packed full of stuff for you. Tomorrow, Christmas Day, if you find yourself, well, you know, lots of us aren't going to be doing the things we wanted to be, and maybe we won't be the people we want to be. Don't forget, though, you won't be on your own, because radio, Cambridge 105 Radio, it is here for you. That's what we're here for. No one else, just for you. So you can tune in tomorrow morning. I shall be on air from 8 till 10, but don't worry, after that, it gets really good. There's some really good programming for you. And just have a look at the schedules there and you shall see. And that's all the way through to the new year. And that's just, if you look at that, you'll find there's 100 reasons why Cambridge 105 Radio became a multiple award winner at the recent Radio Awards. Unfortunately, unsurprisingly, I wasn't involved in any of the programmes which got awards, but that's a different story about that. Now, we've just got time to once again go have a quick word with all our guests here today. Dominic, you're going to go out on your bike tomorrow, Christmas Day? Try again, Dominic. I've allowed you in the conversation now.
I won't go out tomorrow. I went out today and I took a bit of a kicking, so maybe that's all right. But I'm going to try and do 500 kilometres between Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. So.
That's a Rafa challenge.
It is put by Rafa. I did it a couple of years ago, and it's a nice because I was meant to be going to Scotland, and it was like right, I'm not going to Scotland, so riding the bike is always a good thing.
Now, Louis, you won't be on your bike tomorrow because actually I remember when you were here about 2 years ago when we'd done quite a big feature of you. Do you remember? You were here quite a long time. We were doing a recording. Yeah. And Jane was with us then. And obviously, Jane was very much part of Behind the Bike Shed, and she unfortunately passed away earlier this year. Much missed, not just as a fellow bike shedder, but also as my wife. But we move forward. But I remember about that, Louis, two things. Once you went out, once you came in, and you were very charming as always, and as soon as you went, Jane said to me, why can't you be more like Louis? He's really nice. And I'll always remember that. And you are a nice guy. We all know that. And the other thing I remember about you, you ate all the mince pies. We had a plate between us. But you said, don't take a picture of me with these because my coach might see, didn't you?
No. I remember the picture that you did take. Of me, there was an empty mince pie cup behind in the background.
Yes.
So that didn't go unnoticed, and that was a highlight of 2018.
And I suspect that's why your coach loosened your pedal before you came away for Christmas, so that you'd end up walking to lose a little bit of fat because he knows you're going to work his way around. Adam Giles, one of our featured guests today. Adam, will you be cycling at all this Christmas?
Yeah, I might pop out. I don't do too much now, Phil, but I occasionally do go out. I've got a circuit near me from where I live, which is about 24 miles, and occasionally I will do that.
So that's right. Maybe a couple of times over the Christmas.
Adam, I know whenever you get together with other cyclists, you like to tell everyone about the time you won your 400 metres national champion grass track. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. So I really want to say a special thank you to all my guests today. You're a great part. You're a very key part of Bike Shed. Thank you so much for everyone else who has been involved in Bike Shed over the last couple of years. Big thank you to all at Cambridge 105 Radio, the support they gave us in the summer and the fact they've asked us back. And the great thing is we are here, not New Year's Eve, but we're here the first Thursday afterwards and we're running throughout the whole year. So well done to them for a brilliant bit of scheduling. The programme will definitely be here. They'd probably have a new presenter by then. So thanks to my guests, Dominic Wade, Louis Rolfe, Gwyneth Horscroft, Adam Giles, Brian Robertson from the Human Powered Vehicles. Emily Cherry, thank you so much for coming out on your basically a day off for you for some work stuff. Thank you, Rachel Davis. Thank you to Keith Tyler. Hope you'll come back another time on the show. Thank you to Christopher Hayworth. It's been a pleasure having you on. And Phil and Trish. Thank you so much, Trish, for bringing Phil along. And happy Christmas to you all.
Thank you for listening to Behind the Bike Shed on Cambridge 105 Radio, presented by Phil Minot. If you'd like to sponsor this programme, please contact sales@cambridge105.co.uk.